Every day, I walk into the office. There's only so much I can take before I find my solace in the bathroom. And I take a look into the eyes of the face in the mirror. I don't know how much longer I can contain my degeneracy, the grime, the wear of the inner city filth. How much longer can I use this jargon of professionalism? How much longer can I repress?
Just kidding. No, work is kind of stressful.
You are now listening to Pillow Talk Radio and Podcast.
You know, sometimes you want to flirt with girls or you want to just kind of say, hey, dude, what's going on? And it go into a bit more of like a heavy topic, or you want to talk about, you know, like partying and, you know, just being loose, you know, just shooting the shit, but in a way where it's kind of like a party atmosphere. Because, I mean, there's definitely some girls I want to flirt with, but since I'm in human resources, I don't think that's very appropriate. So that's why I'm kind of inhibited at work, unfortunately. So, yeah. But yeah, I do go to the bathroom a lot, but it's never to do that kind of stuff. I mean, I just go to take a piss or whatever. Anyway, so quick little semi-apology for the last couple of episodes. Was really messy. Got progressively drunk over those two episodes. Not in between, but during each episode. And at least with Joel, I was able to maintain some sort of civility. And with Chris, that was just, that night ended. That just got messier after the show. That was just like a, rapid descent. But very much thankful to have those two over the past couple episodes. Great people, great guests, tons of fun, and I wish them a speedy return to the show. So, last week I wasn't around because I was just busy, but, I'm actually planning on this being the last episode of the season and to start off with a newer topic next time around, which would hopefully be next Friday or at least within those days as well. I want to keep this like a Friday night thing, you know. Or if you like want to listen to it Saturday morning, Saturday night, whenever you want to listen to it, if you listen to it, whatever. But yeah, so a couple updates on me. Have a new track for you to listen to tonight if you haven't already listened to it on my SoundCloud. And I will be DJing a party with Chris next weekend. It's one of Gabrielle, his fiance's friends, 27th birthday party. And I believe her name is Nadine. And it should be tons of fun. Chris and I have been preparing for it for like a couple of weeks now, a few weeks now. Maybe he's been preparing for it a little longer because he's likely going to be using Ableton, which is a bit more complicated to DJ, but it's going to be, it's going to lead to some pretty cool effects. And I'm really excited to see that. And it would be cool if I could record some of that. Maybe we could record our sets and throw that on SoundCloud so you guys could have a listen to be part of the action. So with that being said, on to the show. So tonight is going to be a little bit more tame it's going to be a bit more of a story time, if anything. And I found this guy on Reddit. Of course, like, he could be a complete bullshitter. You know, you never know with people on the internet, right? But some, you know, the way he speaks, and that person has identified as a he because, and I don't mean this in like some weird PC way. I'm just saying, like, he says he's a guy. So, let's start off. Okay. So this was, in reference to a post entitled "Military and Ex-Military Men. What's the funniest thing a military commander has said to you?" And he writes, 1966, I was on an island. Shit was tense. Southeast Asia was popping off. Johnson needed bodies behind the trigger. The DIs were rushed. He's a Marine, by the way. We didn't have a kill hat, a PT hat, etc. We had live on deck DI who abused us 24/7. When you rack and boot, you're out in 45 to 60 seconds. So any noise is, quote-unquote, squeaking the rack or jerking off. One night we hit the racks. I think I was asleep in air as I was falling to the mattress. I hear, "Up, you motherfuckers, up!" Almost a second later, the DI heard this one fuck up jerking off. He was like a laser beam, went right to him, screaming, "Pull your pecker out now." So here is a 6'4", 140-pound kid shaking with his limp pecker in his hand. The DI goes into a tirade about the faggotry of this young man and decides he will perform a cum check. He is to kneel on Broadway, and each of us is to slap his face with our cocks. Now, since I'm an old man and I don't care, I will tell the embarrassing truth. I walk up and tug down my skivvies and get, quote, "Holy shit, that is the smallest Irish pecker bolted to the biggest idiot body I have ever seen," end quote. Followed with, quote, "How does your clan reproduce? Do you jerk off with incredible aim? Do you require pipes and funnels? Get back in your rack. You can jerk off all you want. Only ants could hear it anyway. Get one of the brothers up here to slap his chin and do some brain damage to this moron," end quote. Well, a black guy named Westover walked up with what I swear was an elephant trunk in his hands. And he means hands, plural. The DI just used it as an excuse to make fun and scream. That night, DI racked us and took J.O. out to the PT square. I never saw him again. Dark Gamer replies, "That's pretty gay." And he goes on. And another, and I've been kind of like stalking this guy on Reddit. He's like a gold mine. And so the poster asks, "Where was the worst place you've had to take a dump?" The gentleman in question replies, 1968. I'm in the jungle of Vietnam for the only reason any of us were in the godforsaken jungle. It's dark and Victor Charlie is on the prowl. I didn't know I had Crohn's disease yet. The doc said, "You've got a nervous gut," and gave me some meds. So in the bush, I'm doing figure eights with an itchy button. I finally say fuck it and squat on a tree, tripod style. My M14 and 2 feet back on a tree over the slit trench. I'm spraying mud bad. K-ration ravioli and chipped beef on shingles, fighting to get it to the ditch first. My BDU pants around my ankles. I'm just getting my pumping going, and the first mortar round slams into a pile of ammo crates. Charlie launched a night attack. I'm squatting and kicking back fire while nursing serious mud butt. I'm seeing bodies take hits from my 14's heavier bullets as parachutes flares are lighting up the night. I work up I work from a turd squat, kicking rounds down range. The attack goes 12 to 15 minutes. A lot of bodies on both sides had new bloody holes in them. I finally used a cardboard divider from an ammo bandolier as an auto body scraper to work the bondaria out of my crack and yank my skivvies and BDUs up during the fight. I helped police up the dead and wounded and finally hosed my ass off. I itched for 3 days. 1 out of 10. Worst dump ever. So, looking into a lot of his other stuff, what I gather is that he is actually, there's stuff that he remembers, and immediately you get like a rich profile of this individual. I won't go too much into those stories at this point, but he talks about, he's from New York City, he was in the Vietnam War, and he's been New York City EMS from the years of, I believe, 1972 to 2008. According to him, allegedly, he's seen action on the night of the 1977 blackout and the World Trade Centers. He's worked both those things, and he has cancer from Agent Orange in his bones and cancer in his lungs from the World Trade Center. And according to him, he's also fostered upwards in the range of 20 children. I know this all sounds really crazy, and again, he could be completely bullshitting, but with the detail he brings, as is illustrated by this next story, you can make up your mind in whatever way. And now this is coming from, excuse me, I'm going to take a little sip, Old English. Okay, that was more of a gulp. According to this, this is a post that he wrote on the subreddit EMS. It's entitled, "The Night the Lights Went Out, 7077. Arson and Rape and Riots." He begins, "As I promised, I dug up this gem. A bit of housekeeping first. I'm doing this to show where we came from." Oh, and I should interject right now and say that he does use a lot of jargon. So I don't really know if I'm pronouncing things right or if I don't even know what he's saying in some of these things, because it's a lot of it's medical or a lot of it's military. So just bear with me. "From nothing or more or less. I gain nothing from this, but I hope you guys gain a good laugh. Please come to me if you want to know something. I'm not above speaking to anyone. June of 77 was hot. Balls stuck to your thigh hot. Everyone was on the fire escapes or running fans to get air moving or even feel a breeze. It was so hot the chain snatchers took the day off. People were mad and victim of violence jobs were all over town." And he's speaking as a paramedic. "The humidity was so bad when you went L&S, you needed wipers. In those days, not all buses had air conditioning. Some just had the little fans like school buses. Each one visor corner and three in the box, but I digress. We picked up a victim of violence job. I wrote the address down and we booked it. We roll up to the courtyard entrance of the old gardens in Washington Heights. About 40 folks are on the benches in various states of clobbered. I start with my usual opening line. Y'all call for a bus?" One man answers up. "I don't think he's okay. ETOH is obviously more in control than anyone. We look in the bushes behind the bench and a young Hispanic is literally crumpled in a heap. My partner stabilizes the head, neck, and we drag the kid straight to the deck. Blood is draining down from his ears. I took a 4x4 and did the best blot test for CSF. Here we go. full spinal package. I drop a couple of IVs. The housing cops are talking to everyone. It begins to mist cool. It actually feels good. Presbyterian, here we come. We turn on the AV and it begins. My patient starts to seize. Shit, double shit. My Ativan did nothing. He is clenched and turning blue. We have to slow in the school zone. The seizure stops and I park the fastest tube I have ever parked. I'm trying to slip the bite block in between the molars and tape the tube down its side. We didn't have Thomas tube holders yet. We pulled up to Presby and unloaded. I think the seizure stopped right before the CPR began. Great way to start a tour. Back to the projects, more combatants waited. I think I float a BLS triple in. We used to be allowed to stuff the bus on one provider. Triples and quads were common. This is important later. So I had a broken and set wrist, a good lack that needed a few stitches, and a guy who smashed his knee. Broken cap is in mind, but who knows? Everyone was quiet and happy splints and MSO4 for everyone. Just like Oprah, you get 4 MGs, you get 4 MGs. It started getting dark, so it was time for a break. A phenomenal gyro joint wasn't far from where we were. $2.95 for a gyro and fries. How can you go wrong? We pull up outside and key out of the bus and take a stool. I order for me and my partner. God, it was good lamb. It was moist and the tzatziki was cold and not runny. You know, the hallmark of a fresh gyro. I got halfway and picked up the ketchup squirter to do my fries. Crisp and starchy with just a hint of ketchup. Lightning crackled in the distance as I flipped pages in the post. Life was pretty good. More lightning, it got dark, then it got really dark. I guess it was about 9 p.m. and I just remember the streetlights going out. Radio net came live, the main dispatch took a dump, so Queens was doing redirect in Manhattan, went to self-dispo from the genset and an emergency bus. Issue is the radios all had interference from genset being too close to the transmitter. Dispatch sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher using a Hitachi wand. It was going to be a fun night. My partner at the time and I were known to have a beer or two dozen in the bus. We had our first of many cold ponies of Bud that night standing on the sidewalk. FDNY pumper squealed around the corner and stopped next to us. Lieutenant hopped down and broke our balls that we didn't have enough beers for everyone. He asked us to follow them to the subway. The trains were stopped. People were opening the doors and getting off. Never mind the 600 VDC at unlimited amps that could run through the rail at any minute. Oh, well, it's been a few days since I took my life in my hands. Let's go. We followed FDNY down the tubes and tell people to calm down. We were going to get off. I start at the motorman's car. My partner is on his tail. We walked the car, made sure everyone was okay, and by FDNY popped the doors and grounding mats on the rail. We made a human guardrail to guide the way to the platform. A stepladder was set up, and the lieutenant and truckie were helping folks. After about 30 minutes, everyone was out of the way and on the way up. Little did we know what we were coming up to. It took half an hour. We went on a downtown detail. While stopped on a corner, two guys tossed the concrete end of a park bench through a shop window. The entire radio display was gone in a few minutes. I got out and picked up a small red transistor radio, the kind with the wrist strap and a fold-out antenna. I went to throw it back in the window, then I realized I was an idiot. I still have that radio. We used to listen to Mets and Rangers game nights on it. We drove up a few blocks and the pandemonium went to beauty. In the park by the hospital was about 15 people seated having tea. Proper tablecloths were on the tables and a small hibachi grill was steeping two pots. We stopped and noticed it was a mix of older black women and Chinese women from the local street market. Quite pleased with themselves and all safe as they sat among railroads and lanterns and candles enjoying their tea and cookies, we weren't needed, so we went about our business back to Spanish Harlem. We made it 4 blocks till we found a young woman laying in the street. I yanked my .38 out of my backpack to secure, and my partner grabbed her up. She had been beaten. I'll never forget how her nails had been broken and the rough clumps of hair and scalp dislodged. She fended off a rape but suffered a toll. I wasn't sure what to do with her as I had no hospital to contact. We put her on the cot, got a line in her, and medicated her. My partner dressed every wound slowly and carefully. He spoke slow and deliberate about everything he was going to do. She had a beautiful smile. We drove up to the Metropolitan, but it was slammed, and as bad as we felt, we had to leave her. She held to the PCR and no one received her. We heard Bushwick was burning and that arson and looting was the new city sport of choice. You could see guys jumping the fire escapes. God only knows what they were doing. I'm sure it was selling Avon. I'm sure it wasn't selling Avon. We got curbsided a few times that night. One man burned himself bad on kerosene lamp he tried to fill without extinguishing. The bottle of oil was slippery. He dumped it into the wick. The poly blend shirt stuck to the wound to the day. I won't wear synthetics. One guy flagged us, and my partner said, "Curbside looks like a skell." I put my beer in behind the dataphone and sat on my 38. The curb doors open, and this skell goes manic monkey on the sharps box. I pointed the gun right at him as my partner floored it. We dragged him maybe a half block before the box came off and both tumbled to the street. That was the end of the heroics. I tucked my gun in the back of my belt and finished my beer. I slid the vent window and depth charged the bottle. By the time I sat back in the airway seat, a cold pony was in the pass. One of the rock stations came back on FM. Thank God it broke the silence. At one point, we had 4 BLS patients in the box. We did a group trip to the ER again. I left them PCRs. Actually, they were ACRs or ambulance care reports in those days. In hand, no one could stop to receive them. I think the Yankees lost. Throughout the night, we stopped to check on folks and do some group trips to the ER. A few burns, a stabby beady, or 3 just like a regular week compressed into a night. We saw much looting and burning. If I remember, the power didn't come on till the next day due to Con Ed, not knowing its ass from a hole in the ground. Mayor Beam blamed everyone but his administration, of course, but I didn't care. He paid me that week, all the same time. When we went back uptown, the ladies were still having tea and the crowd had grown. Women sought safety in packs and they found it. Men protected their own, and the animals went predatory. Story as old as time. I went to my apartment in Spanish Harlem. I shared it with 6 other guys at the time. All I wanted was a shower and a nap. But my one roommate spent the blackout in a twin bed with 2 girls from the supermarket down the block. You bet I waited for him to change the sheets. I needed to get my nap in and be at Batty early. It was my night to buy the beer. So as you can see, and I apologize again for the jargon, and obviously he's not typing perfectly, but as you can see, this individual has a very rich history, or a very vivid and deceptive imagination. And I just kind of trip out because at this point in time, they're all like, they're just like drinking. I mean, not only are they drinking and driving, but they're drinking, driving on the job. Not only that, but they're drinking and driving on the job and administering very serious medical attention on people in within an inch of their lives, you know? And I'm not saying this to criticize the man. I think it's I mean, there were just different times, and I think that's just fucking epic. You know, it's just like some cowboy shit, you know? Anytime there's like a riot or a blackout in a big city, like, you're bound to fucking see some shit. And I think I looked up what pony bottles were. And I think that they're like the big, they're like the 2 foot long gas container, like the oxygen containers. If I'm not mistaken, I saw another post where he said that they would fill those up with beer. So that's just kind of a trip in itself. And now for a commercial break.
Attention, attention. Requesting.
Now seeking.
Hey guys, I'm Paul E. I'm looking for a
attractive female
personal assistant to help me with this podcast.
That will be a quote unquote personal assistant.
Let me know. Yeah, nah. Yeah. I'm just trying to get laid.
We move on to a slightly shorter story entitled The Glory Hole Gang and the Case of the Bitten PP. And once again, written by the same gentleman in subreddit EMS. Okay, you guys asked for these, so here we go. The Port Authority used to have a few waiting rooms around the city, and of course at the main bus terminal at 8th and 37th. This occurred around Christmas of 1982. Like all dads, one fellow went into the city to chase down a Barbie doll of some type. He ended up on my stretcher with the glands of his penis in a paper cup. I'm going to have to interject. The glands of the penis is essentially the head. It's the bell end. It's the dick head, right? I continue. Allow me to explain. A rather enterprising young lady, wink, and a few of her friends began the Glory Hole Gang. The low, low price of $5 got you in a stall shoving your dick in a hole cut by a badger on a stick. On the other side, a beautiful young black woman would talk up a big game about how hot and manly you were, then plunge you into her awaiting maul. Only one problem. The beautiful young woman you made the deal with and walked into the stall wasn't attached to the maul you were balls deep in. In the case of the man with the bitten pee-pee, Harold was. Harold stood about 5'7", maybe 110 pounds. Assorted drugs had taken the toll. Harold needed a reliable fix, so for $5 spit or a $10 swallow, Harold would stand in a Macy's shopping bag in the stall. When the bait woman got your cock in the hole, Harold provided the service, so to speak. Harold knew a few more dicks and he would get his fix. Problem was, Harold waited too long in a seizure while Artie, the 250-pound accountant from Fort Lee with the Barbie, pumped his gullet with visions of Shanice in his head. Artie yanked his bloody cock back, and Harold vomited his glands on the tile. Shanice bolted her cash, leaving Harold to do the tuna and Artie to bleed. I met Artie lying on the bathroom floor, surrounded by PA cops. Harold was curled up, vomiting in the urinal. The old floor to mid-wall type were great for puke, but this one needed a weed whacking. It had such a layer of pubic hair on it. When Artie's chunko glands came up, the PA cop scooped it up in a coffee cup out of the trash. Artie brushed the phlegm, cum, and hair off it and just stared into the cup. We didn't forget the FAO Schwartz bag either. Wouldn't want to mess up at Christmas and all. The Glory Hole Gang struck again a few times, and the new tactic was to tie baling wire around the pipe or toilet base. Then they would fashion a dick noose to slip around your member. One held a box cutter to your dick while another went into the stall and got your watch and wallet. They would take off, leaving you noosed to the hole and robbed. A few even took your shoes, pants to ensure a head start. And he put head in quotes. Ever see a degloved penis? Baling wire will do it if it's tight enough and you jerk back hard enough. I never partook in prostitutes even when offered exchange of professional services. My reasons are my own. In the early days, we had three schools of hookers. Female with high and low end clients, or male not openly gay to the naked eye, also with high and low end clientele, and transvestites. Trans girls who were not passable took the worst of it. My heart broke for them, misunderstood and not accepted, so many died at their own hand. And so many were beaten by lovers and even Johns. The female streetwalkers suffered at the hands of pimps, and it even became fashionable at one point to face tattoo your property. I cannot recall the infections I treated. It was quite common for us to take meds from the dead to use for those who had no means. I'm not talking about stealing C2s, but things like metoprolol and antibiotics got recycled. We kept a bag in the O2 door to help those who wouldn't ride in or couldn't ride in. I'm probably half the reason we have resistant infections, as if a 21 at 3 a day was needed, but we only had 17 pills. You gave it and turned your head. To clear it up, we did forget a few C2s at a woman's apartment when her boyfriend popped her in the mouth, or a homeless guy broke a tooth at 3 in the morning. Plenty of gauze and abdo bands got left behind too. Our hearts were in the right place. So for about a week, several street level girls were coming up to the bus with infected brandings. All refused transport, so we did what we could and traded off PCR. One night we get shipped to an empty lot. One of the girls had her pelvis smashed with a sledgehammer. She was cashing out tricks. The new pimp who was branding the girls decided to send a massage via her torture. The new pimp who was branding these girls decided to send a message via her torture. The message wasn't wasted on his ladies, but they weren't about to wait to be tortured. As the pimp sat in his car, two of his girls drove ice picks or Phillips screwdrivers into his neck. His spine severed, they covered him in gas and put a cigar in his mouth. He got weaker and weaker till finally the cigar dropped. We arrived to beef jerky trying to grip the wheel of a Cadillac. No one knows what happened. Please don't tell me about my grammar. I'm too old to care. So, if you know me individually, you know that I'm not really a stranger to seeing grimy-ass shit. Of course, this individual working with EMS and essentially being a first responder is not an everyday human being's experience. I've heard stories similar that my dad's friends have told me growing up in Boyle Heights, even my dad growing up in the projects. It seems like many people that you know and then you meet throughout life, if they've been exposed, they'll have a story or two. But this person is just kind of hurling them out. And these are just specific ones, you know? And he's seen several like these, and, you know, he's curating these experiences. And it's also an important American history that is probably one of the most violent and grim, because first off, he's going into detail about the Vietnam War as a Marine And if you know much about the military, actually, even if you know a little bit of about the military, is that you know that the Marines are essentially the point of an arrow tip as far as spearheading military operations. They, figuratively speaking enough, are the first responders. And so the fact that this person has such an ability to tell stories about this time, an extremely violent war, disturbing physically and mentally, and to return to an urban area approaching the crack epidemic. And the crack epidemic across the United States was nefarious as a result, right? You have urban minorities living in liminal zones and selling drugs as a means to make ends meet and then even to attain success. But this drug isn't like Xanax or any other drug like that. It's an extremely addictive drug. It's easy to make. And he's seen it all. And not only has he seen a very difficult time in the history of New York with even the blackout, but he's even been a witness and a first responder to the collapse of the World Trade Center. And I'm going to sum up his experiences after my latest track. And with that, I'm going to explain that at least this is supposed to be a happy track. This is a track that I dedicated to my experiences with ecstasy and being happy. And that's why I call this track Quad Stacked. Quad Stacked is available online on soundcloud.com/ Paul Edward Espinoza. Check out some of my music if you would like. So, like I said, I was going to sum up his experience, or the way I experienced him, with what he responded to on a quote, or I should say a post on Reddit entitled, "What Do You Need? What do you need a compliment on that would make your day better?" He replies, "September 2nd, 1970, I was flown out of a godforsaken jungle just south of the Perfume River in Vietnam. A pal was killed and another had his foot blown off. I had shrap in his big toes and my shins. I'll repeat that. I had shrap and his toe bones in my shins. I shot several VC, real people, as I kneeled on my pal's back protecting him. Today I smelled powder from rifle rounds at a ceremony. That was it for me. I went home, took an oxycodone, because he has cancer, drank some good scotch, ate a steak, and now I'm sitting here angry at my world. I wish it had meaning, but I can't find any of it in... I wish it had meaning, but I can't find any in any of it. Sometimes you think you have it bad, and I'm not going to say that you don't. And for all I know, this man also lived in a time where it was easier to afford life. It was easier to raise a family. But it just goes to show the suffering that warriors go through. And this next season is going to be about warriors. Not necessarily military, but may include military. But it's the concept of war that we engage in with ourselves, with adversity, and how we reject becoming dust and choose to become diamonds from it. I hope I haven't bored you, and I hope you stay tuned for season 2.